This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can contact me either way if you'd like to leave prayer requests or comment about the program. And on the website, you can re-listen to this program as well as read some of the questions and answers, the tracts, as well as some of the meditations, the weekly meditations that I post there. So that website might be helpful to you if you're trying to get your mind around some of the things that we discuss on this program. Now, we started looking last time at David, a man whose biography we want to spend a little time on. I want to start spending time on some of the more prominent men in the Bible, men and women in the Bible, but I want to spend my time mostly on those who have been people of faith that God has used. Now, we're going to see that in every case, there's defects in their life. Now, we may not have found any defect in the life of Joseph. That's what the commentaries all say, although when he puts money back into the sacks of his brothers and sisters and tells them that he didn't, I guess I would say that if he was my child, he'd been lying. So I'm not going to say that there's no defect in the life of Joseph, but for the most part, he was a picture of the Lord Jesus. And we will come to Daniel, and in Daniel's case, I don't think you'll find any imperfection in his life. We'll look at that in time. But right now we want to look at David, and the reason I'm looking at David was because he's the second king of Israel, and we noted last time that while Saul was the first king of Israel, and Saul was a man who looked like a king, he was head and shoulders above the people. He was a man that the people looked up to. He could lead in a battle, even though he was afraid of Goliath, where David was not. There was just something about him that was very attractive to the people. And we'll remember that the reason the children of Israel were getting kings was because they had rejected God. God wanted to rule as a theocracy through judges. And the people had started doing that which was right in their own eyes and had asked for a king. And God gave them some good kings, but the kings were ultimately both for Judah and for Israel, because the kingdom was divided after Solomon. Both lines of kings became a problem in the leadership of Israel, and they led people into sin. As a matter of fact, one of the statements we'll read time after time about the first king, one of the first kings of Israel, was that Jeroboam was a man who caused Israel to sin. And the reason he caused Israel to sin is because he set up a competing system of worship in order to keep the children of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, from going to Jerusalem to worship and giving their loyalties back to the Davidic line. So as we look at these kings, God had given these kings to Israel, not because he wanted to, but because the people wanted them. And in giving them to them, he makes it clear that he will anoint kings, and some of the kings will be good, and some of the kings will be bad. Of course, in all fairness, that was true of the judges as well. So whenever we look at leadership, we find out that we really need, as people of God, to look at the Lord and to pray for godly leadership, particularly in our churches. We need to pray for that, because it's easy for people who are self-willed and carnal to take leadership when God is looking for the humble servant who has been sealed and filled with the Holy Spirit to guide his people. So when we look at David, the reason I like looking at David is we read that he was a man after God's own heart. And I, looking at the way in which God describes many of the kings of Israel, and in one case, if we go down through the lineage, it says he was not loyal like his father David. Now, his father in that case would have been probably great grandfather or a lineal descendant back a ways, but nevertheless, he was not loyal like his father David. And the Lord wants loyalty. And I sometimes ask myself, how loyal am I to the Lord? If I'm loyal to the Lord, I do things His way. I don't do things my way. I do things in a spiritual way. I don't do things in a carnal way. And I know that's a very difficult thing, because I look at our Sermon on the Mount, and I believe that that basically lays out God's way for us to live today. And it tells us not to lay up treasure for ourselves on earth, but to lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. And yet I always feel a little most secure when I have just a little money laid aside, and I'm sure you do too. And when you have your house paid for, and I'm sure you do too. And yet the Lord would say to consider the lily of the field. They toil not, neither did they spin, yet God in all his glory was not, or Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. Consider the sparrow. There's not one of them falls upon the ground, but what the Father takes notice. And so the Lord wants us to be loyal to him and trust him not only for eternity, but he wants us to trust him for time. And I think in many ways David was able to do that. And I think that kind of loyalty is what God is looking for. And I have to admit that if I look at the Sermon on the Mount, I fail. I'm just glad that God is merciful and understands my weaknesses. We'll find out that he understood David's as well. But when David was anointed king, we noted last time that he was the youngest son of Jesse. And there were older children in that Samuel, who was anointing anointing David king, there were older children that looked more like a king than David. But while Saul looked like a king and David didn't, yet David was the one that God really used to establish the kingdom as a theocracy that did worship God. And David prepared for the building of the temple, and he laid out the order of the worship of this kingdom. He loved the worship of God. But he started out as a shepherd. And so that's one of the things that I've noticed about David. If you look at David, he was keeping the sheep when he was called to be anointed king. And when we look at David, we often think about how he was also a singer. We know that the Lord sang at least once. He sang before he went out, when he went out from the Last Supper across the brook Kidron into the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, after they had sung a hymn, he did that. So the Lord sang as well. But David was a singer. He must have been a man who was joyful. But when we look at David as the shepherd, we would think of some of the psalms that he wrote. And of course, that brings us to David as the singer as well, because those psalms are songs that were sung in the worship of the temple and in the journeys to the temple. Many of those songs were sung, and we sing those songs yet today. One of the songs that we love today, and we've had it set to music in a number of different ways, is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And so on. Most of us have been acquainted with that psalm. We like the psalm because at the end it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I like the fact that David speaks with certainty, because whenever I preach the gospel, I tell people, we can know for sure that we're right with God, that we're saved. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. And I like the fact that David had certainty insofar as his relationship with God was concerned. We can have certainty in a spiritual way insofar as our relationship with God is concerned. That Bible was not written to leave us in doubt as to where we stand with God. The Bible was written to give us assurance as to where we stand with God. And so we see David, who is the shepherd, David, who is the singer, the one who is called the sweet psalmist of Israel. We see him writing about God as his shepherd. I like that 23rd Psalm because there's a lot of people who quote it at funerals, and sometimes I wonder if they really understand what the valley of the shadow of death really was. I'm going to come back next time and look at that, at the, what the valley of the shadow of death really was, because we have Psalm 22 where David prophetically tells us how the Lord is going to die, and he does it 1,000 years before the events happened. He says, they pierced my hands and my feet. And so in Psalm 22, we have the Savior and the sweet psalmist of Israel as a prophetess singing about the Savior. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he tells us how he's going to die. And then he tells that he's going to be bullied strong. Bulls of Bashan have compassed me. And as you study this psalm, you can't help but have your heart go out to the Lord who suffered for our sins. The one who should have been accepted as a king is the one who is rejected. And he suffers in order that we might have eternal life, in order that we might not suffer. He suffered, the just one, for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And so in Psalm 22, David, the sweet psalmist, speaks of the Savior. In Psalm 23, he speaks of the shepherd. And in Psalm 24, he speaks of the king or of the sovereign. In Psalm 24, we read, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. And the God I worship is the God who rules the universe. He has given us latitude to make our own mistakes and decisions and to follow Satan or to follow him. But ultimately, he's going to put everything under the feet of the Lord Jesus, and the Lord is going to reign. And for those of us who trust in him, he reigns in our hearts today. He's our king. He was crucified as a king. Over his head, the accusation was written, King of kings and Lord of lords. But for those of us that are saved, he is our king. He's been crucified. He's been buried. He's been raised from the dead, and he's coming again. And on his vesture and on his thigh, there's a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. I hope he's your Savior, your shepherd, and your sovereign today. Our God and our Father, we pray that you'll bless those who have listened, that you'll bless thy word. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation. We pray for thy blessing upon the program in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.